Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass, and this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Going to give these guys credit on their roster predictions in a moment. I do have a quick question, though. Bo, did you happen to listen to the Steakhouse yesterday?
No.
Oh, Lord. Where are we going with this?
So
I did not.
I was driving around because I was running some errands.
What kind of horrific things Michael say about
me? He didn't say anything horrific. He brought out some supreme content, though, that I'm a little sad he didn't share with us first here on the Morning Shift.
What did I do?
So you're in a dilemma for this weekend with college football and a one-year-old birthday party. And I'm hearing this and like, this is something that we should be talking about.
You holding out on us, Mike? You holding out on us?
And I don't know the conclusion because I ran into Target and spent all my money. So
first of all, what you need to know is there's a reason I didn't break that story out on this show. And it was actually told to say off the air.
Oh, no.
And he was like, oh, great. Let's play a little radio here, and busted it out on me. Yeah, so Lindsay's best friend is their one-year-old birthday party is noon Saturday. So there has been a small conversation about whether or not I'll be attending that.
Yeah.
But did you forget that you have to be at my house at noon on Saturday?
Yeah, yeah, I actually
to help
did.
Me with
That's
that project?
A good call. Yep, I forgot about that. Yep, me and Ridge will be on our way over there.
Okay.
To help deal with that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Lindsay, if you're listening. Forgot about that.
W-Mans. W-Mans.
This guy like tells me he's going to help me do something that I needed to help him help me
call.
Do.
Forgot. Completely forgot about that.
And he's going to birthday parties.
That thing that we had to work on.
Yeah, the project at my house.
No, it's all in good fun. I was thinking out. We were having that conversation yesterday. It was like, you know, there's just it's a big weekend of college football, right? And you don't want anything to kind of step in your way. And my wife, we're having that conversation because we, you know, after that birthday party, we are going to a Bama FSU watch party. And so she was like, oh, we'll just be all at the birthday party and we'll just go straight to the Bama FSU watch party. I was like, whoa. No, we will not be at the birthday party. You will be at the birthday party. I and at least one of our kids will be at home watching the television, having a good time. So, yeah, it's just one of those inner household conversations.
Yes.
Funny how those things work. I know someone that's trying to move this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a group chat, and apparently, like, 3/4 of the group chat is out of town this weekend.
Yeah, that's weird. Mm, crazy how that works.
Interesting.
Convenient.
Convenient.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted on that, Mike.
It is a 3-day holiday weekend for, you know, in their defense.
It is. They need extra time to unpack boxes, or they're getting away. You know, we're going away for the weekend.
I was going to say, a lot of people traveling.
All right. So, look, I know being held accountable for all your predictions isn't always fun, but y'all had this dialed in yesterday with the roster predictions for the Falcons. Just a few were off. What were your biggest surprise cuts that happened yesterday?
I mean, one of which for me would be Kentavious Street. I just didn't think that he was going to get cut. I thought that they had – it seemed like they had asked him to gain weight. I do not know that, but he gained weight. He gained like 20 pounds, and I thought he played better than that of a guy to get cut. And to me, it felt like they kind of had a role for him. Now, Laquelle London didn't get cut, so he made it, and he is – Laquelle London's kind of – I thought Laquelle London – probably outplayed Kentavious Street during the preseason, but
I can tell. Well, I'll tell you this much: both of them outplayed Ruka Rororo, and I know that they're not exactly playing similar spots or being asked to do similar things. But you just look at straight up interior defensive linemen, and you start with David Onyemata, who is obviously the veteran in that group. I thought they were going to ask Kentavious Street to do a lot of the same things that Eddie Goldman did in like goal line and short yardage situations last year. And Eddie Goldman's gone, and Kentavious Street seemed to me to be that bigger body because, like you said, he looked bigger this year than we've seen in years past, and now he's not there.
Well, and it is a different defense, so I don't know how they're going to – but the goal line situation is a goal line situation, right? You want a bigger-bodied guy. You're trying to stuff – They've also talked about how they love what Ruka's done. I mean, he had moments where he did not look very good, but there's something that they like about Ruka, about what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. I hear a lot of the same sentiment. I turn on the film. I don't love it. There were multiple plays on Friday night where it seemed like he was driven 10 yards off the ball on some of the double teams. Now, busted defenses because they don't have to come off the double teams, but you'll have plays like that where you're just getting double teamed to sleep, and he didn't fare well. And so I really, and we go back to the J.D. Bertrand play where J.D. Bertrand doesn't make the tackle on the goal line. The running back kind of trucks him and gets in the end zone. That's a defense. That is a defensive front. That is a play, a Jeff Ulbrich-style defense where they are stunting up front away from that hole and allowing J.D. Bertrand to get in the backfield. That's what you mean when you say attacking style front. You have, you know, five defensive linemen. They all stunt certain ways and, you know, kind of take up the gaps, confuse the offensive linemen, and allow that linebacker to get into the backfield. But you have to make the play. And if J.D. Bertrand had made that play, we'd be sitting here talking about, oh, that was really cool. That was Jeff Ulbrich's defense coming to fruition. But he didn't, and he got trucked. And, you know, then you're left wondering what happened up front. But I just wonder where the bigger bodies are coming from. This is one position group of that interior defensive line and interior offensive line that I'll have my eyes peeled for the next couple of days.
What do you think is going to be happening with Easton Stick? Because he was cut, but last year the Falcons had three quarterbacks on their roster. Now we have two. Is there a path for him to come back?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think they'll sign him to the practice squad. And there might be days depending on I don't believe week one he'll be active, but because they can make him a standard elevation. I think he has three or four of those, but there'll definitely be a day where, you know, maybe Penix is dealing with something or, you know, God forbid something worse happens where he has to be moved. But I think they like him. I thought he played well at times in the preseason. It wasn't a surprise to me that he was cut, though, Mike. I mean, it's a numbers game, and his number was on the outside.
It is what it is in these quarterback situations. I saw a headline from Sporting News this morning, and it was like, Kirk Cousins' inability to play well last year cost Easton Stick his job. And it was basically because Kirk is the backup, and he's being paid so well. Easton Stick was the one that got screwed out of that situation. It cracks you up. Because Easton Stick did play well. He also had two interceptions that were taken off the board because of penalties, because of offsetting penalties or whatever else.
Not good ones either.
They were bad interceptions. So, yeah, I think there's a path. I think there has to be a path. I think you have to have a third quarterback. I'll be curious to see how far through the season they go with him just on P-Squad. But I think that's one of those things where you look at the situation and the cutdown day and getting to week two and everything else, the initial 53, and you wonder, you know, where that kind of goes. But there's some quality quarterbacks out there that are looking for a job today. I'll just say that as well.
When you have injuries at one position or another, and sometimes multiple positions, you have to go to another one and take from it. When you want to carry four tight ends, you're taking from another offensive side of carry seven wide receivers. You took. You only got eight offensive linemen, two quarterbacks, right?
And that's just how it is. And Allie, we said that yesterday, right? It's like nothing against Easton Stick. Mm-hmm. It's not about Easton Stick's performance. You just need that roster spot. You have to have it. There's too much depth at other positions. There's too many needs at corner and at wide receiver and, you know, tight end, obviously, when you talk about special teams. Quarterbacks don't play on special teams. And so that's usually the first place a lot of people look when they start doing the roster construction deal.
Well, and Bo, you mentioned, you know, the wide receivers were carrying seven at this point. Are there any other position groups that are heavier or slighter than you expected?
I didn't think they would have five interior D linemen.
That's a light one. I did not think we'd be keeping seven corners. I didn't think your cornerback room would include Clark Phillips and Mike Ford and Natron Brooks. I think we all kind of assumed that, you know, the 1v1v1, like these competition, like, Clark Phillips being on the roster was somewhere I definitely probably missed on yesterday. We haven't seen him. And you look at how he's kind of been passed up at certain spots on the depth chart. When you talk about the re-signing of Mike Hughes and the drafting of Billy Bowman and everything else that comes into play there, and you're like, dude, I don't know that there's a role. But evidently, you know, they like the way he competes and things like that, and he's part of this team. But seven corners was a big number for me. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, and seven corners and only three safeties, so 10 DBs, and you got to think that one or two of those corners is I'm not going to say they can play safety, and that's not what I'm saying, but if that came to it, they might be able to fill in and just slide in there just for the rest of a game or something, or maybe a few plays here or there.
I like where you went when you talked about Billy Bowman possibly being a guy that could be an emergency safety. We saw you know, was it Richie Grant that had to fill in at nickel last year against Denver? Because you went in light on corners, and then you also had somebody that got, you know, had to leave the game early because of a concussion. And then Richie Grant suddenly is playing nickel in the first half. They made adjustments in the second half, but it was bad. So you do have to be prepared for those situations. I think that Billy Bowman is eventually probably that guy. They sound like they like the way he tackles and like his physicality. But I'd say early on, I feel like they have tried to limit both Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts in terms of what they are being asked to do until they learn the scheme and get, you know, deeper entrenched. So Mike Ford, kind of that guy for me, probably D. Alford as well, as somebody that maybe – If you lose two safeties in a game, you might just have to play a single high safety deal and start rolling corners back into cover three. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to go about that. But, yeah, those were both positions that I was like, interesting, man.
Well, and of course, we know this is the initial roster. Things change. 8:20, we're going to dive back into potential changes we could see from the Falcons. And Josh Kendall will also join us at 8:40. But next, we're going to zoom out. See where the rest of the NFL landed yesterday, and the Saints did name a starting QB. We'll go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.